We have, we're considering the Dash 48 amendments, and I understand Representative Burton has also supplied you with a somewhat extensive amendment. Number one, and I think I'm just restating what Vice Sub-Chair Dix just said, but the chairman has asked that someone from the Insurance Commissioner's Office monitor us on insurance tort reform, so that whenever we discuss any portion of the bill related to your department, that you're here. That would be very helpful. I wonder, Council, when we were on Dash 48, and Representative Burton, do I understand that your amendment includes Dash 48?
No, it does not.
Why don't you explain Dash 48 to us to refresh our memories?
Me. Okay, what Dash 48 does is it adds to the definition of commercial liability insurance. It clarifies that the word business, which is used in there, also means professional, nonprofit, or governmental entities. And it also adds after property arising out of acts or omissions in the course of a business or profession. These are all aimed at clarifying that we also want to have covered engineers, architects, lawyers, doctors, etc. And it, in turn, provides the parameters of the bill and the types of insurance affected by this bill.
Mr. Miller,
yes.
Is there anything you can do to supplement Ms. Weber's comments?
Probably I was interfering when I didn't have an opportunity.
I'm sorry, Representative Hanlon, I was somewhat distracted.
Do you have Dash 48 before
yes,
you?
Yes, I have the Dash 48 amendments. And I have had an opportunity to look over the Dash 48 amendments. And I will say that I had talked to committee counsel about some of the concepts in the Dash 48 amendments. And the commissioner's office, or I personally, have no problems with those amendments as I see them.
Whose are they?
Do they do anything?
Representative Phillips.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Do they do anything?
Representative Phillips, I think one of the things that we wanted to make clear is that within the term business or commercial casualty insurance, we encompass professional, nonprofit, or governmental entities. We wanted to make sure that we covered lines like professional liability insurance for architects,
fine,
doctors, and so forth. We wanted to make sure that nonprofit corporations like nonprofit retirement homes, businesses of that sort, were included, because some of those entities have experienced problems in securing commercial liability insurance. And the same thing holds true of governmental entities. I think we were simply trying to make it clear so that there was no doubt that these kind of entities were also included within the definition of commercial casualty.
What is the primary purpose of defining commercial liability insurance in this section of 323? What is keyed into it?
Okay. I think basically all of the provisions that follow are keyed into this definition. We wanted to make it clear that within the provisions of the bill, at least as it was originally drafted on the Senate side, that the provisions did apply to commercial liability insurance only, as opposed to personal liability insurance, homeowners, personal auto coverage, things of that nature.
Mr. Chairman, another question.
Representative Hanlon.
Section 32, it says commercial liability insurance means insurance, and then you go to the very end, for damage to property, if you omit some of the middle part of that. And then sub 2 says, commercial liability insurance does not include A, property insurance. I don't understand. That seems like a conflict to me.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanlon, what we were trying to distinguish there is the difference between property damage liability insurance, your liability to a third party for damage to their property, from code definition, as I recall, of property insurance, which relates to fire and extended coverage insurance on your building, for instance. We wanted to make it clear that this covered commercial liability insurance and not what was included within the code definition of property insurance. Now, that I don't recall how the term property came to be added to the original definition in the bill, and it may be redundant. I'm not sure, but that is the distinction between property damage liability and property insurance.
Another question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hanlon.
When we read all of the reports from insurance companies, we had a big report from a large insurance company, and they group casualty and property together for reporting purposes. And in general, that's what I read in these financial reports. Why don't we group them together? Or are we grouping them together?
I think, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanlon, generally you can say that there, in the case of property casualty insurers, there's a generic description called a property casualty insurer, and typically they write both property coverage and casualty, which includes the liability definitions. Now, where we experienced the primary problems during the time that lines of insurance were being canceled and what we thought excessive rate increases were being imposed was not in the property area, but it was in the liability area.
But is there any reason to treat property and liability any different, since economic accounting-wise, that's where they seem to be grouped?
In terms of, again, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanlon, if the objective, for instance, in the reporting forms of or the reporting sections of 323 is to gather data regarding so-called liability crisis or the insurer's experience relating to liability coverage, the language as drafted does that. I wasn't aware, for instance, that there was a particular problem in terms of availability or affordability in the property insurance area. That wasn't where we were getting the complaints.
Do we know that?
I can state, I think, very confidently that we know that has not been a problem. In fact, there's still a good deal of competition for the property line still exists and may be increasing as opposed to liability.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
You can tell me whether you want to do this or not, but Mr. Chairman, I would move the adoption of Dash 48 Amendment and the Section 32 portion of Representative Burton's amendments.
Let's deal with those one at a time, if we may. The Dash 48 amendments, those were, the proponents were identified as, or were they identified?
That they were the Insurance Commissioner's Office.
The Insurance Commissioner's Office?
Bob, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
Bob, it was my recollection that when you were here before, you presented that Dash 48 as an amendment that you suggested the Commissioner's Office thought was necessary or should be adopted.
Representative Bunn, Mr. Chairman, I believe this amendment is a good amendment and one that would strengthen the bill and help clarify the bill.
Okay. Representative Bunn has moved the Dash 48 amendments. Is there any objection to those amendments? If not, those amendments are adopted. On the portion of Dash 73 that relates to Section 32, and I believe that's lines 1 through 13, we also have
exactly
that.
Change.
We also have similar language in the Dash 62 amendments. So why don't we pull out the Dash 62 amendments also, which relate to this section?
Yeah.
I have can we identify the proponents? I know Representative Burton prepared the Dash 73 amendments, but can we identify the proponents of the Dash 62 amendments? I don't know if Representative Burton is with us still or is going to be able to join us. Council?
I believe these came from a meeting that I had with Bob Miller and Legislative Council Drafter Joan Robinson, where we went over some of the amendments suggested by the insurance lobbyists. And specifically, what these amendments do is they, different than the other amendments, is that they exempt hazardous waste and environmental impairment insurance, aviation insurance, and commercial automobile insurance from the definition of commercial liability insurance. They differ from the Burton amendments, which is Dash 73, in the definition of what is excluded as commercial automobile insurance. And there is a definition for commercial automobile insurance in there. One of the policy choices the committee needs to make is whether or not commercial automobile insurance is identified in another section of the bill as trucker's insurance, and whether or not, as a policy, we want to have these reporting requirements and other provisions of 323 to also apply to, quote, truckers or commercial automobile insurance. I can give you some background on that. There was a task force established by Commissioner Driscoll to look at, quote, the trucker insurance issue during the interim, and there was testimony in front of the Joint Interim Task Force on Liability Insurance that, quote, truckers insurance, commercial auto, was also experiencing some very significant problems in availability and affordability. I contacted the lobbyist for the, I believe it's the Oregon Truckers Association, Mike?
Meredith.
And it was his opinion that, yes, they wanted to be included in the reporting requirements and the other sections of the provisions of the bill.
Okay. Mr. Miller, do you folks, I understand you may have been part of the discussion. Do you have a copy of these amendments in front of you? I mean, do you know what we're talking about here?
I have a copy of the Dash 73 amendments.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the first 13 lines of that are basically, I guess, what we're talking about. We're adding other lines of insurance to be excluded from the provisions of this act. You obviously understand that. I don't know if it's proper to identify you folks as a proponent necessarily of these amendments. It's my sense, correct me if I'm wrong, that hazardous waste and environmental impact insurance, there are problems in trying to get that kind of insurance. Is that correct?
Yes, I think that's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Do you folks have any particular feelings one way or the other about these amendments, or?
In the case of hazardous waste and environmental impairment insurance, I think that the market at this point is probably so restricted that nothing you do within the terms of this bill is really going to affect the availability of that type of insurance. And I'm really not sure that inclusion of that type of insurance might not make it even more difficult to obtain. A lot of the standards that are imposed in this area are imposed by the federal government, and so the action that the state takes, I'm not sure will have that much impact on, well, it certainly won't impact the requirements, and I'm not sure that it will impact the availability of this particular kind of insurance.
Okay. Council, I think you indicated that you felt that the proponents of these additional exclusions, including the definition, may have been folks representing the insurance industry.
Correct.
Is there anybody here from the insurance industry who wants to claim advocacy for these changes? Or speak in favor of them? Or Mr. Monroe, welcome.
For the record, Jack Monroe, speaking on behalf of the American Insurance Association, I think to the extent that I can clarify the issue, and I guess speaking to the 73 amendments, I'm not sure that I can add anything to what Mr. Miller has said about hazardous waste and environmental impairment insurance, except to say, essentially now, it's not written. And I guess the issue with this, as is the case with all of the other exceptions, is the question of whether or not the application of certain other sections of the bill will do anything to further the availability or affordability of the coverage, or make the situation worse, or in some other way create a burden for the insurance commissioner's office or somebody else who's impacted by the bill. In this particular case, maybe the best example might be the relationship it has to another decision that you may or may not end up dealing with, but an issue that's incorporated in the bill right now. The bill, for example, now obviously provides authority for a standby JUA.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to, for example, talk about implementing and activating that authority, which would then call for people who are writing liability insurance in the state to participate in that JUA. If that JUA were put together, for example, to provide coverage for this kind of risk, the impact would be to simply drive a lot of people out of the state because they would not expose themselves to the almost unlimited liabilities that exist under these heads. So I think that's an example of an impact there that would be very adverse as it would relate to this particular one.
Okay. As far as the definition portion as it relates to commercial automobile, you understand the issue presented by truck insurance.
Is that?
How do you folks feel about that?
Chairman Springer, I think the effort, for example, in 73 to define commercial automobile is to make sure that what we are not talking about excluding is truckers' lines.
Okay.
And to deal with a business that has a passenger auto under a business coverage, and in many cases those are rated and dealt with just like your personal auto insurance and my personal auto insurance. They are written on six-month policies. There is no problem with that area. And this definition is designed to not incorporate long-haul trucks or of that type. Deals with passenger vehicles.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Miller, go ahead.
Excuse me. In the task force that the Public Utility Commissioner and the Insurance Commissioner put together, we did find that one of the problems that truckers were having generally was getting available data. So we don't have any problem with the inclusion of commercial liability insurance, but I have to agree with Mr. Monroe. There are what are essentially private passenger automobiles that are occasionally used in an individual's business and insured under a comprehensive general liability insurance policy, and I think that's what the exclusion is trying to take out of the definition of commercial auto.
Okay. Mr. Bessonette, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I'm Bessonette with the Oregon Mutual Insurance Company, and in the relationship to hazardous waste and environmental impairment, my concern tracks with the prior speakers, but we also go beyond the fact that our reinsurance treaty will not allow us to write that type of coverage with reimbursement from a reinsurer, and therefore if we were first forced into a JUA and required by the state to write that, all of the risk that Oregon Mutual would be participating would be out of our policyholders' money and not out of our reinsurer's pocket if we were to sustain substantial losses. So we oppose the JUA as well as and we recommend the insertion of hazardous waste as the exclusive definition. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's at least, if we may, Ripson and Bonehead moved adoption of the -73 amendments as it related to Section 32, and I believe that's the subject that we've just concluded our discussion on. Is there any further discussion, Council?
I believe the dash 73 amendments, the way they're written, would mean that you would include the big trucks in the definition of commercial liability insurance. Dash 62 would exclude the big trucks.
Okay, so if we adopt, let's try to state that one more time. The dash 73, as I understand it, amendments would mean that the heavy trucks would still be covered under the sections
Correct.
Of the balance of the bill. The dash 62 amendments would arguably include the heavy trucks as an excluded line of coverage. Is that your interpretation?
Right. Dash 62 means that the bill 323C does not apply to the big trucks.
Okay. Well, I think my sense is that the dash 73 amendments are the amendments before us. Is that correct, Representative Bunn?
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Bunn has made that motion. Is there any objection to the adoption of the dash 73 amendments as it relates to section, further amending section 32? Representative Hamlin, any other objections?
Do I need to discuss it?
If you'd like to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, may I just quickly ask, if we're going to have a discussion, could we perhaps carry it into tomorrow?
Okay.
I have no objection to that.
Okay. Okay. If folks would rather not proceed to a vote on the dash 73 amendments without further discussion, and it's the sense, I think, of the subcommittee that they wish to adjourn this afternoon. So we will suspend any further consideration or action on the dash 73 amendments or section amendments to section 32 of the C. Engross bill until tomorrow. Council, we full committee starts at 1. Do you have any idea how many bills we have up on full committee?
No.
Any?
I will check if you'd like.
That's okay. I can't tell you what time we'll get to. If you would check with council tomorrow morning, Bob, I think she'd be in a better position to advise you. As I'm sure you understand, while we work through these provisions of the bill, we're very hopeful that you or someone representing the Insurance Commissioner's office would be available to respond to questions in the manner that we've discussed or begun our discussion this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, there's no question that we will make ourselves available throughout the time that you work through these amendments.
Okay, we appreciate your patience and the fact that we've had a lot of interruptions, and we'll have to deal with that, I'm sure, as we try to continue our work session. If there's no further business, subcommittee 1 will be adjourned. Thank you.